Pesachim, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph, new Perek, and here we are going to be talking about the halachas that apply to things that are contain chametz but aren't chametz gamur be'en. They're not true chametz that is edible, and that is, whatever you're talking about, is not a majority of chametz. And meaning, you have one of two possibilities. Either it's chametz betaroves, chametz which is included in a mixture of other things, where chametz is less than the majority. Or we'll talk about something called chametz nuksha, which means, literally I think it means hardened chametz, but it means chametz which doesn't really meet the category of chametz in as much as it's not food, either because, and this is really important, chametz nuksha comes in two varieties. The variety A, which our mission will discuss, is some product which is really industrial in nature. It's not designed for eating. So though one of the ingredients is, let's say, wheat flour, but it's not food and not normally edible. So it's going to be chametz nuksha. There'll be another kind of chametz nuksha we'll see elsewhere in the parak that's referring to food that is edible, but that the chametz, the chimut, the leavening process was impeded and didn't complete. So it's not fully leavened, but that's not our topic here. So we're going to have basically four examples of chametz that are included in a tarovus, a mixture, and their minority of the content of the mixture is chametz. And then three examples of chametz nuksha, things that are really industrial materials and they contain chametz, they're not edible. And in both those cases, according to how the Bar Tanura learns, we're going to say that while eating them doesn't carry the full penalty of karas, they're not really chametz, but one may not keep them around. And on Pesach, according to Bar Tanura, this is just a din derabanan. Derabanan, lest you come to eat these foods on Pesach, which of course is being Isra Doraisa. There are others, including Rashi and the Rambam, who learned that actually keeping them around is an Isra Doraisa all to itself. You're over Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. And that will be, that machlokas really revolves around the first words of the Mishnah, which say, Elu Ovrin BePesach. So this is a strange construction. The word over means to transgress, but normally would apply to a human being who has to do an action to transgress. So according to Bar Tanura, what this means is avor means to pass over. So elu ovrim bepesach means, according to Bar Tanura, these are the things that you have to get rid of on Pesach. They have to be destroyed. Because if you leave them around, that would be forbidden midrabban unless you come to eat them, which would be an isra d'oraisa. Others like Rashi learn that elu ovrim means people who keep these around would actually be over the isra d'oraisa of maintaining them on Pesach, even though they are only betarovas, a mixture, or chametz nuksha. But let's stick to the Bar Tanura. So elu ovrim bepesach, the following seven items have to be gotten rid of on Pesach, four of them because they are a mixture, a tarovis that contain chametz, and three of them because they're chametz nuksha. They're, although inedible and in normal circumstances, not for eating, they do contain chametz, so you can't keep them around. And these are them. First of all, kutach habavli. Kutach habavli, Babylonian kutach, this is some kind of dip they used. It included bread that was moldy, as well as whey liquid. So they would, and some salt, so they would dip it in there. The point is that since there is bread inside here, you have chametz, even though it's batarovas in a mixture, you can't keep it around. Second of all, the shechar hamadi, Median beer. So Bavel is in Iraq, modern-day Iraq. Madai is modern-day Iran, Persia. So although normally in the time of the Mishnah, most what we would call beers were really kind of like mead. They're made out of honey or fermented date honey. The Medians, they would add barley and barley water to their beer. So that is kind of like our beer, which contains barley as a primary carbohydrate. So you've got a mixture that includes barley, and barley, of course, one of the five grains that make chametz, and therefore it's a mixture that includes this barley liquid, so it's a tarovus that includes chametz, and therefore forbidden to keep around. Our beer, just to be clear, which is essentially all made of barley, primarily barley or wheat, is going to be chametz gomor. Okay, and that would be aser, according to everybody in Echi of Karas, to drink that. The third is v'chometz ha'adomi, Edomite or Idumean vinegar. Edom and Idumea aren't quite the same thing, but they're both essentially lands and peoples that are to the southern part of Israel, and maybe also Idumea is this, like at the modern day where the Negev is. Edom could also include like the Transjordan, southern Transjordan area. I believe that Herod's father was an Idumean. In any case, so in those places, they would make their chometz, which is vinegar. Normally, people made vinaigrette of essentially fermented wine, like what we would call balsamic vinegar. But here, they added also some chometz liquid, like some part of liquid to add to it. So again, you have a mixture that includes chometz. And just for the record, barley and wine alone wouldn't make chametz, because we say that non-water, meaning meperos, fruit juices, and mashkin do not cause fermentation. So there's water somehow in the mix as well. So it's a mixture that contains some leaven. V'zisom ha-mitzri, the fourth is the Egyptian zisom. This is some kind of therapeutic mixture, which includes, amongst other things, like flour from barley in the mix, as well as some saffron and some salt and some water. So again, the barley is a minority ingredient, so it's only a tarovus, but still forbidden to keep around. Those are the four tarovus mixtures. And then you have three chametz nukshes, which are zoman shel tzavaim, some kind of preparation that the tanners, dyers of leather would use, particularly to make red dye, so it included barley. So there you go, it's got a mixture that includes barley. But here it's not for eating at all. It's like, it's industrial material, therefore you wouldn't eat it, and it's chametz nuksha. Amalin shel tabachim, this is, I don't know how to translate exactly, but I'll tell you what it is. The butchers, when people would cook things, so, you know, like the scum that floats the top of like the soup, so you would skim that off. What they would do is they would essentially take some kind of dough. The dough would be used from premature wheat grains that didn't grow, they didn't ripen yet, and they would make it into like a dough, and they'd use it as kind of like a sponge on top of the pot, and that would absorb the bad taste and bad smell and sort of like a sponge it all away. So again, not for eating, industrial use, and therefore it's chometz nuksha. And the third is v'kolan shel sofrim. This is glue, either glue that's used from, that's made from the fine dust that you scrape off of the mill when you mill the flour, and that would be used to sort of stick papers together. According to Rashi, actually it's like rye flour, which is used actually in the production of paper itself. Whatever the case is, it's some kind of glue, not for eating, and therefore it's chometz nuksha. So we have two examples here so far. We had category A, which was real chametz betarovus in a mixture, and then category B was chametz nuksha. It was things that contain chametz, but they're not for eating. Tanakama, however, would say that a mixture of chametz nuksha would not be a problem. However, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer omer, af tachshite nashim, this is some kind of cosmetic for women. It was used essentially as like some kind of depilatory or to make their faces kind of ruddy and their skin shiny. The point is, it's a mixture that includes chametz nuksha. So he says even that would be forbidden to keep around. Zahaklal, the guiding principle, says the mission is kol shu mimin dagan. Anything that includes grain, dagan, the five grains, wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye, hareza over b'pesach. You have to get rid of them on Pesach. That's what Bartender learns, and we're understanding here this is Rabbi Eliezer talking. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, I don't care that it's a mixture of chametz nuksha since it contains water plus five grains, one of the five grains, it has to be gotten rid of. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is like Tanakama, that if it's a mixture that includes chametz nuksha, that's not something you have to get rid of. The Mishnah ends up by saying, Hare Elu Ba'azhara. Now, there's a couple ways to read this last sentence, but one way is, Hare Elu Ba'azhara. And all these things are forbidden as a law, V'ein Ben Mishum Karas, but to eat them wouldn't be considered eating chametz, gamor, and therefore you're not liable to the penalty of Karas, which is normally the penalty that comes with eating chametz gamor. These are not chametz gamor, they're mixtures or chametz luksha, and therefore you're not going to be chayav Karas. Now, some Rishonim learn that if you eat a tarovus, you're not chayav karas, it's just a lav. Others learn that if there's in the mixture what's called enough of a kazayas bechdei achilas, a kazayas in every pras, an olives mount in every, it's hard to translate exactly the words, but it means, but either if the ratio is, it's less than 1 to 1, but it's either, but it's more than 1 to 5 or 1 to 7. It's machlokas, Rashi, Rambam, whatever. The point is, if you're still eating a kazayas of chametz in the mixture, you'd still be over and chayav karas. So according to those shitas, here this would be Rabbi Eliezer speaking, and he is saying, Hore elu bazhara, the last lines on the list are restricted. The these things chametz noksha, they're forbidden, but they're not chayav karas because they're not for eating, because they are not